Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode.
Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. And today I'm joined by the one and only Morgan Ingram, CEO of AMP. And if you've been on LinkedIn ever, I am confident you've seen Morgan in some of his social selling playbooks. So Morgan, thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
Let's go ahead and break it down. I love the headline at SDR to CEO. You have sat in the trenches and had to actually do outbound yourself to actually get meetings booked with right fit target accounts. And now being in a CEO role, you understand the amount of inundated inbound that we all get. And I was looking at one of your posts earlier today of just connect rates on calls are 1-2%. What was it on emails? Of it's 6% emails don't get even opened or something like that?
Yeah. And there's, I think it's like 15-20% open rate. That's like industry standard. Most emails go to spam, right? And like these things can still work. I'm just saying it's just getting over time. It's just getting harder. This is basically what the statement is.
So I'm excited to dig in specifically on some of the practical ways that sellers can actually use LinkedIn for effective social selling to engage target accounts and also engage organically in the feed, because it's not just DMs, but it's also how do you create conversations in the comments or create relevant content. So really, Morgan, as I'm thinking through it, I'd love to get your perspective first on like how do you even segment and find the right audience to target on LinkedIn?
Yeah, so I think the very first step that you take when it comes to segmentation and it comes to getting things prepared, if you do have it, is knowing what your ICP is within Sales Navigator. Now, if you don't use Sales Navigator, I'll have another example for you, but most people listening probably do. And once you have your Sales Navigator in Flex, then you need to understand a couple of filters. So first thing that I always look at is who are the people that are active on LinkedIn? Most people are like, LinkedIn doesn't work because they don't click post it on 30 days. So that means that you're just reaching out to people who aren't even on the platform. So then your response rate and your connect rate will just be low. Second thing we look at is the job titles. I like to look at things as a triangle function, which is at the top of the triangle is the executive buyer. So if you're selling, for example, let's just say sales services to make it simple, you're probably looking at someone who's the chief revenue officer or the chief sales officer, VP of sales. Then on the bottom of those two, you're looking for people who influence the CRO or the VP of sales. So that might be the head of, let's just say it's the head of sales development, for example. Maybe that's a person that would influence that person, or the VP of marketing would influence that person. Those are just like other examples. So that's like the way that I look at that. And then the third function is based on how granular you're trying to go in terms of company size. I know that certain people go after enterprise or mid-market. So you're looking at the company headcount. How many people are in this company and how many people I'm looking to reach out to? That's like another example as well.
Yeah, we're focused on first ICP and then it's truly a toggle that people aren't turning on and just posted on LinkedIn app 30 days. It's like so simple, but so effective for actually segmenting people that will be active on the platform. And then it sounds like are you using a relationship mapping function to actually map out the people within the buying committee that we're trying to go after from an economic buyer or executive buyer and then the influencers?
Correct. Yeah. So inside of the account, inside of Sales Nav, you have a relationship map or account map. And yeah, I'm mapping out who do I need to go after and what needs to happen. On certain levels, if you are a sales development rep, SDR, ADR, whatever we call them nowadays, and you're looking to hand, there's literally changes every day. And then an account executive, like that's where you want to screenshot that account map, send it to an account executive, say, hey, here's how I'm planning to get into this account. Here's what I'm looking to do. Those are just examples of how you can stand out and make sure that it's relevant for you as you continuously look to build. So that's just, again, another way, another example of how to go about that.
I love it. So now we've got a clear understanding of the accounts we're trying to break into and the specific people that we're going after. Now we know those things. What are we actually doing next?
Okay, so what we're walking through here is a portion of my system called the 5 C's. So it's like our AMP social selling system. The first part we just walked through was clarity. And what I find is that most people are like, hey, I'm not booking meetings, I'm not doing anything. And then you haven't gotten the clarity of who you're going after, right? Because if we're sending all the stuff I'm about to tell you and you haven't done that first step, even though someone's, oh, I understand that, that's how you miss out on actually getting meetings. And so the next step after clarity is connect. And so this is where basically a lot of people get upset with me on this one. Every time I post about this, people are like ready to fight. And I don't know why, like why people get so mad at this, but it's like, I'm only going to share something that actually works. I'm not going to share something and be like, I don't know. It's no, like this does work. So blank connection request is where you want to go for here. And what I believe in is that actually you want to look at, yes, the triangle I just mentioned to you, but what you also want to look at is something called the groundswell. So these are people that are end users of your service or product that we want to connect with as well, because we not only want to reach out to them to get information, but we also want to connect with people in the company. So it increases our mutual connections to the other people. So our next step is that we want to start reaching out to these people in ICP and sending out blank connection requests. My thought process on this has changed over time because everything on LinkedIn has changed over time. Really, you want to focus on maximizing your weekly connections. So you can send out 200 connections per week. So even if you had a 10% acceptance rate, that's still 20 new people you could reach out to per week. And that's about 80 people you could reach out to per month. If you reach out to 80 people with a good, unique, personalized message, and we'll talk about what that means in a minute, then you're going to be successful. So that's why I say do it max that. What I see is like 25-30%. So your numbers are a little bit higher, but that's just like an example of how you could do it.
One, thank you. Because I've actually made multiple posts like screenshotting the pop-up that's like, you've maxed out your connection request this week. And it's like, if you haven't seen this, keep going. Yeah. Because that is how you build the network that actually allows that social effect to take place. So one, exactly. Thank you for actually like having some documented proof that this approach works. And just such simple, like 10% connect means 80 new people. And then I don't know if you've seen this, but I've just found that it works better because people don't seem to feel targeted if you're connecting with them on LinkedIn. Whereas if you're showing up in their inbox and they've never heard of you, they know you're targeting them.
Yeah. So a lot of people that when I post this, right, they're like, personalization is the way to go, et cetera. Okay. So let's do some math. So let's say you took 5 minutes to write a personalized note to 200 people for the week. Let's just say you decided to do that. That's what?
1,000.
1,000? Okay. So that's 1,000 minutes that you just spit. 1,000 minutes is what? How many hours is that? We're doing a lot of public math here. I think that's 7 hours, right? That might be wrong. I think it might be more than that.
16.6 hours.
So you just spent 16.6 hours personalizing your notes when I spent next to no hours sending blank connection requests, and I guarantee you I'll beat you every single time. Now, me personally, yeah, because I create content, you're going to be like, well, we're going to create content. No, I guarantee you the rep that I could find that you've never heard of will beat you over the personalized request. I guarantee it. 9 out of 10, because there's some outliers. 9 out of 10 times, that rep's going to beat you because now that rep has time to go do other stuff. Actually start conversations, do commenting if it's relevant to the ICP. So that's why I tell people like personalizing is the outcome of you personalizing 16 hours we just wasted doing that. That to me doesn't add up to the other things I could be doing on the platform when we already know the blank request leads to higher acceptance rates. So I wanted to do the math visually for people to realize like how critical it is not to do that. Unless you've met the person or you actually have some personalization, I just don't think it's worth your time.
Yeah, I fully agree. The only time that I've gone back is if there's really a specific person after I've done the blank and I withdraw the request and I go back 3 weeks later. That's when I personalize to try to increase. But yeah, we're playing a quick math game. So I love it. Once we've actually gotten the connection, got mapped out accounts, so we have clarity on who we're going after, we connected with these people, what's next?
Okay, so now this is when we start conversations. And again, this is also where people have a hot take because they're like, Morgan, why aren't we commenting? This is where I actually feel like people have been disconnected from reality. This is where people disconnect from reality because we live in this bubble, Mason. We live in a bubble where because most people that would have this advice, they create content. So they think everyone's creating content. And no, if you actually click post in the last 30 days, I think I checked it last. It was 64 million people have posted in the last 30 days out of 1 billion people. So that's a very small percentage of people. if you compare it to a billion. And I also know people on here, maybe listening, you're reaching out to IT, security, different industries that are just are not as active. So I don't have the third step as common because that, again, wastes time. Notice everything, I'm trying to save people time to get where we need to go. So I actually don't have Comet as the third step. It's the fourth step if you have people that are actually engaging, but there's no reason to go look and comment for no reason. Let's start the conversations if they've accepted. So this is where you can take three different routes. So one, you can do videos. I tell people videos is the best way to go. I think we have a three window until like AI gets so good that this is actually not going to be something unique, to be fair. Like AI is getting crazy. And this is my opinion, but right now it still stands out. I've been at multiple events in the past months and I always ask executives, SVPs, C-suites, et cetera. And I say, hey, how many videos have you gotten on LinkedIn? People in the past 12 months have seen 5 to 7 videos in their inbox, if not any. They don't see any at all. So I'm not saying that you're going to make this video and get 100% response rate. I'm just saying that you're going to be different than everybody else. So this is something I encourage you to do. You can do voice notes. People think they're creepy, whatever, they do work. And then also you want to do like text-based messages, but you don't want to copy and paste your email. So your emails that you send are your emails that you send. They are not the same as a LinkedIn message. Your LinkedIn message is very similar to a Facebook message or a Meta or like an IG message. You're not trying to give them a ton of stuff. So when you create your videos, you want to do videos that are less than 50 seconds, 35 seconds optimal. When you do a text-based message on LinkedIn, you want to basically lead with an observation, mention something that their persona currently is going through from what you've learned, and then ask a question. Like, hey, I noticed that, I'm just making this up. I noticed that you had this product update. Typically, when people have this product update in this space, I've been talking to VPs of sales, and this is what they see. How are you currently making sure that your LinkedIn workflow is optimal? That's me making something up, but I'm just telling you, like, that's the layered is like observation. Other people like you are facing this. Then you ask that interest call to action or whatever you want to do there. That is the flow you should have every single time. And then you follow up on that message. If they don't respond, there's other people in the account you can reach out to. So that's the way you want to start conversations, but how I see it is like asking questions, being punchy as possible. You don't want to write something super long because that's what everyone else is doing. And that's how you stand out.
Yeah, I'm thinking back on my own inbox. And I think in the past 6 months, some of the people that have sent me a video or a voice note are you and Darren McKee.
Oh, shocker, it's both of us.
Responses. So the other thing, and forgive me, but like you've got well over 100,000 followers. Darren's got over 100,000 followers. Yeah. It was one of those things where I was like, oh, Morgan's still got time. Because you can't outsource that. That's, I think, why it's really, I made this for you in platform. There's no automation. There's no AI. Yeah. There's no like, it is. So if Morgan's got time, I probably still have time. Like, if Darren McKee, busy as that guy, still got the time to send me a voice note, I think I probably still have the time to do it, too.
Yeah. If your calendar is not completely full as a sales rep or as a business owner, right, you have the time and make it super simple for yourself. Do 5 videos a day. I did a workshop and I just told people, all right, this is super simple. If you do 5 videos a day, that's 25 videos in a week. That's 100 videos in a month. You can't tell me that you can't get a 5% to 10% return on that. You can't get 5 to 10 meetings off of that for 5 videos a day, which would take you 30 minutes to do. If I told you, hey, if you did this for every single day, for 30 minutes and you could get 5 to 10 meetings a month, I'm pretty sure everyone would take that.
Yeah. All right, I gotta go make my sales person list this episode. All right, now.
it's all just repeating.
Yeah, so what's the scene number 4? Once we've made the connection.
So we start the conversations. I also wanna preface this. Make sure that you follow up on your messages before we get to the connect point or the comment point. Make sure that you actually are like have following up. Like, don't send the video, because what happens is most people are like, hey, Morgan, I sent 15 videos. That asks, did you follow up? No. Okay, we'll follow up. And then before we actually get to this next point, this is actually super, super important. I have noticed this, and this is a very granular detail, but I'm going to basically check it out. So I'm looking at my calendar right now. I've actually found that videos have got higher responses Sunday afternoon and Fridays. So now what I'm testing is I'm making my videos all in one day. I might do 30 to 50 in a day just because like I too just want to get better. And I'm going to send them on one day. instead of throughout the week or 2 days. I might do like Friday and I might do Sunday. So that's something I'm testing out in the next couple months, because I've been thinking about, okay, if you get a video at 5 a.m. in the morning, you're going to be like, okay, like, like, what's going on? But if it's like maybe 7 a.m., maybe it's like it's early enough where maybe it's like you can possibly watch that. If it's Sunday at 2 p.m., you're probably on LinkedIn and it's less noisy. The feed isn't as crazy. So your inbox isn't getting blown up because nobody else is thinking about this. I don't have the data on it. I don't have enough sample size to tell you that this is the answer. I'm just telling you it's something to consider. So let's go into number four, which is the comment. So this is, yes, this is where if you have buyers that are engaged, which in sales now, if you can click post in the last 30 days, you can do it by seniority title, you can do it by job title, all that jazz. At this point, now you can find people that you want to comment on. Again, my numbers are really small because I'm the opposite of a lot of people on LinkedIn who tell you to comment 100 times a day. That just seems, I don't know, have you ever done that before? Have you ever been like, that just seems so mental to me.
Yeah, 3-4 years ago when I was a digital marketing specialist at a marketing agency, I would find a lot of target accounts and I had the bookmark approach where I had folders.
Yeah.
And I would just comment. I don't know, it was 100, but I would comment on everyone that had posted in that day. And it took me 1.5 to 2 hours every day.
Yeah.
That was the play and it did okay, but it was not the most effective use of time.
So I think that's for a lot of people. Look, most people probably listening in, you're not trying to like be an influencer, right? You're not trying to get 1,000 comments a day. Let's put it that way. Like, I just don't think that's necessary for a lot of people. Unless you really do want to do that, fine. I think you only really need 5 to 10 good comments a day to get started. And again, I'm giving everybody like super simple steps. Like, I'm not asking you to do a whole lot, really. 5 to 10 comments a day, find the 10 people in your industry to do that on. So I break the commenting strategy down in a couple of ways. I use a tool called Aware, but there's a lot of it out there. So the first group is thought leaders in your space people follow. I know obviously that's super easy for sales, but there are thought leaders in every space. I just don't know them because I'm not in those spaces, but there is someone that people follow. Like, people go to advice to somebody, right? Then the second group is people that are peers. So people that are in your space that are peers that like maybe you work with or whatever it may be. And then your target accounts, decision makers and what stuff that they post. And it may not be as active, but the stuff that they're posting. So you just break it into those three, you pick 10 people out of those, and then you just stay consistent of that, or you find relevant keywords and topics on those things and you just stay active on those people. That is the best way of the commenting strategy. When you comment, make sure that you follow the formula, which is insight and question. So basically you look at the post, you read it real quick and say, okay, here's the insight that I learned from the post. And then the insight that you learned from the post, you say something about it and then you ask a question. So example, let's say you read a post on, you read something about a cold call opener. You're like, this is a great cold call opener. I've used something similar myself. I'm curious, what's your conversion rate on this cold call formula? So now what I've done is I've acknowledged that I saw the formula and then I asked a question related to that. Now I can start a conversation in that piece. And then another thing I say on commenting is that like, it's also not about commenting your own comment. It's looking at what other people are saying in the comments and answering on those comments and just going ham there. A lot of cool things you can do. But I think when people think about commenting, they think, oh, I just have to comment on people's posts. No, you can go on someone's post and go comment and reply to the other comments and go from there. Again, a lot of cool stuff you can do.
I also just love the simple framework, insight, question, because I always get the advice, ask a question back, and that's how you start a conversation. You end up going by, especially if you're trying to go after a target account, that's what we all want, is a conversation that's memorable and unique. So now we've got the fourth C. Let's go ahead and bring us home with C number five.
C number five is content. So the thing is, I feel like a lot of people right now are upset at LinkedIn.
Yeah, I would.
I feel like there are people at Pitchforks right in front of LinkedIn HQ. And like, I get it. Like, y'all, like, I get it more than everyone. Back in 2016, man, like, dude, I post something, it get like 500,000 impressions. There was no one there. So I took all the impressions. But it just, it's crazy. Because like, obviously, I don't get that anymore. So obviously, because there's more eyeballs and there's more people. So content becomes a lot harder. And I've faced my own ups and downs with content. There have been times where I wanted to quit, dude, where I'm just like, I don't even really like doing this anymore because there's so much gamification. There's so much stuff going on now, et cetera. So I understand y'all's frustration, right? But what I've now started to think about more that actually has changed the way that I write content and has actually helped the content is two things. One is I no longer think about how good is this post for the algorithm. I think about how good is this post that people copy and paste it. Because if I can get in the Slack groups, if I can get in the WhatsApp conversations, if I can get in the group texts, that's way more important than like being good on social, to be honest, because that's the real, some of the real decision makers may not even be really active on LinkedIn, or they're like our boy Stuart, who never likes posts. he never likes posts, but he'll be like, yo, that post is fire. And I'm like, bro, where was the like? Where was the comment, right?
The worst lurker of all time.
He really is the worst lurker. So that's what I optimize for, is the worst lurker. How do I make a post where they will copy and paste it and share it with other people? And ironically enough, even if a post, like I had a post that has 200 likes, 100 comments, but it has 90,000 impressions. And it's not a video. And the reason for that is because it's probably being copied and pasted somewhere. It's probably in some Slack group. It went somewhere. So that's what I'm like optimizing for. That's what I'm thinking about now. And then the other thing I have been really thinking about when it comes to the posts is, how do I share something and get people to DM me directly? Because then I can figure out what people really want. And so I've been doing that as of late with my post too. I think another thing I always tell people is, look at the top creators and don't like look at the, you could look at the comments if you want. You could look at the body of the post if you want. I'll just really pay attention to the hook. Like, how can I just take what they're doing and then replicate that hook and make it my own, right? Because most people that are do well on the platform sell LinkedIn services. So you could literally just take those hooks and then change it for yourself, because they're probably not selling the same thing as you. So I'd say content's definitely frustrating. I would say the main thing is like really focusing on how can you have more infographics, the more things like that. That's what's winning the platform right now. It's turned more Instagram light. I personally am not a fan of it. Like, that's not what I would prefer to do, but I always just try to understand what's going on and go from there. So yeah, content. And if you're thinking about content, I would also recommend, you don't need to post every single day. Like, the goal is just to attract the right people. And also, it's for people that when they want to meet with you, they can read your post to understand who you are. So then when they meet with you, they understand. Because some people don't even really, they're not going to like and comment on your post. They're just going to lurk, read it, and be like, I agree with you, and then want to meet with you. So that's why I would highly recommend for a lot of people that are listening in, tuning in to what I'm talking about right now, to optimize for those things I'm saying. Make your hook, I'd say, less than 9 words. Make sure that you have a really good body of what you're talking about. Listicles are really good because it's easy for people logically to follow along. It's the most consumed content on the internet, and most engaging content is listicles. And then have a call to action that's a yes or no when you do that, or have a call to action to DM you as well. These things I've seen to actually work really well for me, as the algorithm literally changes. I feel like it changes every day, to be honest with you. But those are things that seem to be working. Post once a week. And my last take on the content piece that I share with people is, if you're finding that you're burning out from creating content, be a curator. Go look at what blogs, go look at other things that are actually impactful for people and give your 2 cents on it. And that's another way to stand out too.
Yeah, my way actually starting on LinkedIn was, I did a podcast called The Marketing Otter, where I interviewed people on how they build their career, and then just post career insights that I learned from other people. Yeah. And I did that for 2 years. So yeah, I mean, granted, I created curated content, but still, like, you don't have to go create it. I get the occasional person like screenshots my post or a slide that I had and like talks about the thing that I was talking about. And that's awesome. And also, if you do that, can guarantee 9 out of 10 times the creator will actually go and engage with that content, because they're thankful people actually shared it.
Yeah.
Maury, this has been super helpful and like very practical and tactical for people. The other caveat I want to give for everybody is, how many followers do you have at this point?
176,000.
176. I'm at like 22 or 23. Both started at zero.
Yeah.
So,
it takes 6 months. I tell people minimum if you really want to see it.
Yeah. So I know when I hear people talk about this, I often get discounted because it's, you've got 20,000 followers, and it's like, yeah, well, I started at zero and I did this for 4 years. So you've done it for almost a decade. So yeah, like, it takes time if you want a massive following. Like, this thing cranked before I had a following.
Yeah.
Maria, if you want to find out more about you, where'd you play them?
The obvious answer is LinkedIn. I'm there. But yeah, if you want my more raw takes, you can follow me on X. I'm a little bit more the raw takes if you really want to dig into it. But if you want to learn more, ampcreative.io, this is exactly what we do. We help people go from social to selling and helping you actually maximize your LinkedIn as a LinkedIn revenue engine from your sales team to marketing team. So we go through SalesNav, we go through Outbound, we go through content and this 5C system I just talked about. So if you want to know more, hit me up. But Mason, I appreciate you hanging with me, digging in, and having a good time.
I appreciate the time. So Morgan, thank you so much. This has been Scrappy ABM. We'll see you guys in the next one.
Cheers, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.